Welcome to A.T. Stewart and Sons Ministries. I am glad to welcome my youngest son to our ministry team. Josh is one of the teaching pastors at Summit Church in Naples, Florida. Now take your Bibles and let's listen to God's Word together.
We're continuing our series in Make Us Wise, asking and pleading the Lord to make us wise. We're in Proverbs chapter 8, verses 33 through 36 today. So if you have your Bibles, feel free to turn there or open up your phones and get there. We are continuing the series in a series that I feel like we desperately need. I know I desperately need it. I feel like as a country, we desperately need it as individuals, as a church body. There's a lot of things and a lot of ways that we can respond, a lot of decisions that we have to make, and we need the wisdom of the Lord during this time. And so today we're going to continue in that and focus on the Lord making us wise in the decisions that we make. So let's read before we get started, Proverbs chapter 8. It will also be on the screen. We're going to do verses 33 down to 36. Hear what the word of the Lord has to say. It says, "Hear instruction and be wise, and do not neglect it. Blessed is the one who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors. Whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who fails to find me injures himself, and all who hate me love death." As before we get into that, let's just open up in a word of prayer. Lord, we're so thankful for today. We're thankful that you're a God, that your mercies are new every single morning. We're thankful that you're a God that is strong, that you're a God that is loving, you're compassionate, that you're a God that is full of steadfast love and faithfulness towards your people. And so today, Lord, we gather here today desiring to hear you speak to us. We know that you're a God that is speaking to your people, Lord, and we ask that you would use your word today, that you would use the scriptures that you've given to us to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, the good news of wisdom, Lord. For those in this room that there's sin in their lives that they need to repent of, God, I pray that you expose that sin today and lead them to repentance and deeper faith. For those who need to be encouraged today in their walk with you, Lord, I pray that you would encourage them. And I pray that you would do mighty things. Lord, I am an imperfect vessel. The words that I say today, Lord, are things that I'm growing in, ways that I'm developing as a believer, Lord. So, Lord, I know the people here that I'm not perfect, and I will never be perfect. But I praise God that we can look to a Savior who was perfect on our behalf for us. And he is that we can model after. Not only can we look to him, but the Holy Spirit will empower us and lead us towards deeper godliness. We're thankful, Lord, we're not the only church here in Naples and Bonita Springs, God, that there's other biblical churches, Lord, ones that honor you and glorify you. So we pray that you would be with those churches as they gather, God. Be with them as they care for their people. I think about churches like First Baptist Naples and Faith Bible and Covenant Church and the many other ones that are out there, God. We pray that you would bless their gathering, bless their churches, bless their congregation for your glory and for the advancement of your kingdom. Lord, we need to hear from you today, so open our ears, open our eyes, open our hearts to receive the word of the Lord today. Speak, Lord, your servants are listening. And it's in the precious, powerful, saving name of Jesus we pray. Amen. I don't think I introduced myself. I'm Josh Stewart. I'm one of the elders here at the Naples campus, and I have a great privilege to be able to communicate God's word with you today. Back when I was in high school, we had a lock-in at our local church. What a lock-in is, in case you don't know, it's when a bunch of youth, middle school and high schoolers, get together and they stay up all night at a certain location with people at the church. It's a big hangout. We still do them today. But this lock-in was unique because it wasn't only at the church. A part of the lock-in was at a kind of a rock climbing arena in the area. I grew up in the Atlanta area. So in January is MLK weekend. We're kind of doing this lock-in. And we go to the church, and then they bus us over to the rock climbing arena, and we hang out there for a few hours, probably 12, 1 o'clock in the morning. And then we were going to go back to the church to finish the lock-in. Well, as we were hanging out the lock-in, they were kind of getting ready to go back, and they said, "Hey, we don't have enough seats for everyone to go in this first shuttle. We're going to have to come back and get some people. Who's willing to kind of stay behind?" And so me, my brother, and a few friends of ours were like, "Sure, we'll hang out behind. No big deal. Like, we'll wait here." It's all right. All right, your instructions are pretty simple. Just wait inside the building, right, because it's warm in here. It's about 30 degrees outside. So wait inside the building, and we will leave, and then we will come back. All right, so just wait here. So they leave and they head out, and we were sitting there, a bunch of ninth graders, and we had a bright idea. We said, why don't we not stay in the building, but instead, why don't we run out in the woods and hide in the woods until they come back and get us, right? I mean, this is the mind of a high schooler. So we did exactly that. A manager was there, supposed to be waiting with us, but after the cars left, we run out the door and we go hide in the woods next door. Well, the manager looks around and notices that no one's there, so he cuts off the lights, locks the door, and he leaves. And so we're laughing in the woods. Oh, man, we totally got that guy. He thought we were gone, but we weren't. And so we're like, all right, any moment now, the car will be back to pick us up. So we're just kind of hanging there. 30 minutes go by. An hour goes by. An hour and a half goes by. 2 hours go by, and we're sitting in this freezing cold weather in the woods being like, we've made a really dumb decision right now. Like, this is not a good idea. And so we're like, well, what are we going to do? This is before the times that everybody had cell phones, so none of us had cell phones. And we're just sitting there going, we have to make a decision. We can't just sit here all night. And so it was kind of in an industrial area. None of us were familiar with the area, so we're like, we just got to start walking. And we got to just find the first person we see. So we walk, and there's a trucking station across the street. And so we go in there, and we knock on the window. It's like 3 in the morning. And the guy looks at us. He's like, this is completely sketch. And he's like, no, like, you guys aren't coming in. And we're like, no, we got to use your phone. Please let us use your phone. So finally he lets us in. We call the church. We find out that they did completely forget about us, which is crazy because they told us to stay there, but they did completely forget about us. The youth pastor felt horrible. He came, he picked us up, he brought us back to the church, and for some crazy reason, he did not get fired for this. And we finished the lock-in. The reason why I tell you that story is because I think we can all relate to it, right? Maybe you weren't locked out in freezing cold weather in the middle of the night with your friends, but all of us have been in a situation that we made a decision that we later regretted it. We all made a decision that we look back and we're like, man, that was not a good decision. That was not a wise decision to make. Maybe it was a decision you made within a relationship. Maybe it was a decision you made at work. Maybe one that you made with your family members. Maybe one that you made at school or whatever the case might be, that all of us have decisions that we have made looking back saying that was an unwise decision. We act foolishly when we did that. And what we're going to see in our scripture today in Proverbs chapter 8 is that the Lord desires for us not to act foolishly. That the Lord desires for us to have wise decisions. And we see that God's word instructs us to make wise decisions. That he wants us to approach situations with sober minds. Not doing what we think is best in the moment, but doing things that honor and glorify him for our good and for his glory. And so what we're going to do is we're going to spend the rest of our time kind of unpacking what it looks like for us to listen to wisdom. God's word screams wisdom out to us, and we have to pay attention and listen to wisdom's call. And so kind of the big idea of the message today, if you want to summarize these verses and summarize what we're going to talk about today, it's this. It's the Lord blesses those who pay attention to wisdom's call. So we want to be people who are blessed. And we are blessed when we pay attention to wisdom's call. And what we're going to do in the remaining time together is we're going to process through 3 ways that you and I can pay attention to wisdom's call. And so the first thing we see here is that we pay attention by not neglecting wisdom. Let's look at verses 33 and 36 once again of Proverbs chapter 8. So it says, hear instruction and be wise, and do not neglect it. Look what it says in verse 36. But he who fails to find me injures himself, and all who hate me love death. And so the writer of Proverbs, which is King Solomon, reminds us that we should listen to instruction and not neglect it. And then he goes on to say the consequences of neglecting this wisdom is that we can harm or injure ourselves. And what we're saying when we reject the wisdom or neglect the wisdom of God is that we are saying that we love death over life. These are pretty extreme accusations that are being brought upon someone who neglects wisdom. But it's true that wisdom is so important in our lives that when we neglect it, we can harm ourselves and it can even lead to death. And we often neglect the wisdom of God when we decide to do what is right in our own eyes. When we decide to lean on our wisdom instead of leaning on God's wisdom. That we do exactly what Proverbs chapter 3 verse 7, which we talked about a few weeks ago, warns us not to do. Not to be wise in your own eyes. Not to do what you think is wise in the moment. Because when we do things based on our own wisdom, it can often be very dangerous. I want you to think through for just a moment a decision that you made this week. Right? Maybe if you can't think all the way for this whole week, think about this weekend or maybe even today. Think about one or two decisions that you made, right? Just think about them, get them in your head. And once you think about those decisions, I want to ask you, what motivated you to make that decision? What was your motivation behind the decision that you made? Because most likely, you were motivated by one of two things, either desire or want. You wanted something, you desired something, so you made a decision, or you did it out of fear because you were afraid what would happen if you didn't make a certain decision. See, most of the times when we approach a situation, we say, I want it, so I'm going to make this decision, or I'm fearful of something, so I'm going to make this decision. That motivates almost all of the decisions that we make. Now, in smaller decisions, that's not really that big of a deal, right? Like decisions on like, well, what I'm going to eat for breakfast today. I want to have cereal, so I'm going to have cereal, right? Not a big deal. Right? I'm not going to wear these shoes today because I'm afraid they're going to hurt my feet by the end of the day. So I'm not going to wear these shoes. Right? What tie that I wear, what TV show I watch at night. Most of the time, those decisions are very small and are not very impactful. But unfortunately, we just don't use the want and fear to make smaller decisions. We use that in the bigger daily decisions that we make. And we approach these more impactful situations with the desire, do I want this? Or with the fear of what would happen if I make this decision. So we think about, we come home from work and it's been a frustrating day. It's been a hard day. And we approach our wife and our kids. Often the way that we respond to them is based on our wants or based on our fears. The way that we respond with our finances and how we spend our money is often based on our wants and our fears. Way we deal with who we decide to date or who we're going to become friends with, what we're going to do on Friday and Saturday night often is motivated by wants and fears. The way that we handle impure thoughts that might come in our mind, we normally handle those with wants and fears. And so on and so forth, decision after decision after decision are based strictly on our wants or strictly on our fears. Nothing else. What we want or what we fear might happen. And we see that that is very dangerous when we do that. When we make decisions strictly on our wants or our fears, we are neglecting the wisdom of God and we are doing what we feel like is wise in that moment. And there can be horrible consequences when that happens, right? And so what we see here is that there is decisions that we make on wants or fears, but that is neglecting wisdom. So the question you might ask yourself is, why is it a big deal, right? Why is it a big deal that I use my wants to make decisions? Why can't I follow my heart's desire, right? Every Disney movie I've ever watched has told me that I need to follow the desires of my heart. Why is that a bad thing, right? Isn't it good to do what I want to do? Isn't it good to follow my own desires? Well, the problem is the Bible warns against following our heart or following against our own desires solely. Look what it says here. In Jeremiah 17:9, it says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? So if you strictly follow your wants and your heart's desire, Scripture says that your heart's deceitful, that your heart is desperately sick and you can't even understand it. No one can understand it. And so there's much danger in following our heart because our heart is, who can understand it? It's sick, it's twisted. We're born into sin, we're tainted with sin, and we make these passionate decisions or these desires of our heart, and normally it can end up really bad. And I don't think I had to read Scripture to tell you guys. All of us have made decisions following our desire and following our heart, and later look back and say, well, that was a dumb decision, right? Case in point, running out in the woods at 1 o'clock in the morning, right? Like, that was not a wise decision. And even when I think about the examples we used earlier, if I approach my wife after a long day at work, the way I respond to her and the kids, if my heart's desire, is not going to be a loving response. The way that I handle my finances and doing what I want to do is not going to be for others' benefit, but it's going to be selfishly that I handle those finances. The way that I deal with impure thoughts that penetrate my mind, right? I'm not going to deal with those in a healthy way if I'm doing what my heart desires in that moment. So following a heart's desire solely to make decisions can be very dangerous because your heart is sick. Your heart is deceitful and no one can fully understand it. So I tell my kids, enjoy the Disney movies for what they are. Don't listen to the underlining message because that will lead you astray. So we see that following our wants can be dangerous. What about following our fears? Because we could say, hey, I kind of want to follow my fears. Like, I'm kind of on my toes when I follow my fears. Do I have a better perspective when I kind of have fear in the back of my mind as I'm making decisions? Well, the problem with that is fear is lack of trust in God and and lacking trust in who God is and what he's able to do. See, when we fear something, fear is always in the future, right? We can't fear the past. We can fear something in the past might come to the future, but we can't fear the past. We don't even fear the present. We fear the future. Even if it's a second away, we fear what could happen. And when we fear the future, that means that we don't believe that God can take care of us. We don't believe that God is sovereign and in control. We don't believe that God works all things together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose, like Paul tells us in Romans. When we fear the future, we are scared. And when we make decisions based on fear, we're making decisions with sinful motives because we have a sinful posture as we make the decision. I mean, the Bible tells us over 30 times, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. The Christian life is not a life of fear. It's a life that we live in boldness and courage, not in us and our decision making, but boldness in Christ and who he is. And 2 Timothy warns against this. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. And so we are not people who are driven by fear because we don't know the future. Because we don't know what will happen, but we trust the God who does know the future and knows what will happen. He knows the beginning from the end. And so we don't make decisions out of wants and desires because our heart is deceitful, because it's desperately sick. We can't understand it. And we don't make decisions out of fear because we're not supposed to live in fear. We're supposed to live in power and in love and in self-control. And often when we're motivated by fear, it's a sinful motivation, which often will not lead to wise decisions. And so the first question we have to ask ourselves is, are we neglecting wisdom? What decisions are you making currently based on solely on your desires and your wants? And what decisions are you making currently based on fear? And maybe you've dragged other people along with you. So first, maybe you need to repent to God and ask him for forgiveness for making decisions based on solely on your wants and on your fears. And maybe you should apologize to the people around you and say, I've not led you well in this, that I've dragged you along because I wanted this or I feared this and I neglected the wisdom of God and I did things that were wise in my own eyes. And so the first thing we see here is that the Lord blesses those who pay attention to wisdom's call. We pay attention by not neglecting wisdom. And secondly, we see that we pay attention by listening for wisdom's instructions. Look what it says in verse 34. It says, blessed is the one who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors. So we see we don't neglect it. And those who do not neglect it, it says, blessed are those who listen to wisdom, who wait for wisdom, who watch for wisdom. What it means is we neglect our own desires and say, no, I'm not going to do what I want to do. Or we do not neglect wisdom and we say no to our own desires. Instead, we listen, we watch, and we wait for God's wisdom. It's like this eager anticipation, this excitement of when it's going to come. I'm waiting by the gate. I'm watching by the door. I'm listening to my ears. I'm actively listening. Speak to me your wisdom, Lord. Let me listen to your instructions. You know, I've had a very sweet stage in my family. I've got 5 young kids. And one thing that is really cool is where I'm at the age, or they're at the age where they still get really excited when I come home from work, right? Like they want to see me. They're excited when I go through the door. And so what will happen is Maggie will often tell them that I'm on my way home. And what do they do, right? They watch by the door. They look out the window, right? When's daddy coming home? When is daddy going to be here? And then when my car goes by, they're watching for, they want to hear the door close. I'm here. I walk through the door. They're so excited. They're jumping up and down. They don't care if the mailman goes by. They don't care if the neighbors go by. Like, that's not who they're looking for. They're looking for me. They're waiting. They're anticipating. They're listening and watching for their dad to arrive. And it's such a sweet time. But in an even greater way, that's how we listen and watch for wisdom. We look for it. With great eagerness, with great anticipation, we want it to come. We want God to speak to us. We wait, we watch, we look, come, speak to me, Lord. I need your wisdom. I want to hear the instructions that you have for me. And I know as I say that, there's some of you that says, but is it worth listening to, right? Is it worth waiting for? Is it worth watching for? Like, is it actually going to meet my expectations when I finally hear the wisdom of God? Or is it going to be more like a dad that comes home and I'm so excited and he brushes me to the side and goes watching TV in the other room? Am I just going to be disappointed when I find out what this wisdom is? What the good news is that Proverbs, earlier on in chapter 8, tells us how wonderful this wisdom is that we're called to listen to. Look what it says in verses 6 through 11 of Proverbs chapter 8. It says, "Hear, for I will speak noble things, and from my lips will come what is right." This is talking about wisdom. "For my mouth will utter truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are righteous. There is nothing twisted or crooked in them. They are all straight to him who understands and right to those who find knowledge." And look what it says in verse 10 and 11. "Take my instruction instead of silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than jewels, and all that you may desire cannot compare with her." And so this wisdom that we're called to listen to is what is right. It's what's good. It's what we need to see. Wickedness is an abomination to it. It's going to lead us straight. It's going to lead us to what is right. And then he goes on to say, in fact, this wisdom is so good. It is better than gold. It's better than silver. It's better than fine jewels, and nothing compares to it. This wisdom is so good. And so the wisdom that we're called to listen to, the wisdom that we're called to wait and watch for, will not disappoint. This wisdom is what we need to make our lives good. We need it to bring glory to God. We need this wisdom to walk in a manner that is worthy of the gospel that's been given to us. And this wisdom is better than jewels and gold and silver. It's what is right. This wisdom is what you and I desperately need. It's good. It's worth waiting for. And then the question that might follow that, right, is you go, well, that's great, but like, man, like, how much am I going to have to dig to get this wisdom? Is this wisdom that comes like every once in a while? Is this wisdom that's really hard to hear that I got to sit silently for hours and hours on end maybe to get a whisper? Is this wisdom that's going to just kind of hang me out to dry when I need it most? I'm just waiting and watching and nothing is happening. This is going to be more like the dad that I'm waiting and anticipating for him to come home. But instead, he has something better to do. So he goes hang out with his friends at the bar. And I'm just left disappointed because it might be good, but I don't see it. I don't understand it. I don't hear it because it's so faint or so soft or so hard to find. Well, once again, Proverbs 8 reminds us of how we can listen to this, that God desires for us to hear his wisdom. Look what it says in verses 1 through 3 and also in verse 17. "Does not wisdom call? Does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights beside the way, at the crossroads she takes her stand. Besides the gates in front of the town, at the entrance of the portal she cries aloud." And then in verse 17, "I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently find me." That God desires for us to hear this wisdom. It is screaming aloud. It is shouting, "Come, hear what I have to say. If you seek me diligently, you will find me." This wisdom is something that you and I can hear. It is crying out for us to listen to it. It desires for us, so you don't have to sit there and meditate for hours and hours and hours and days to hear the wisdom of God. He desires for you to hear his wisdom. And how do you primarily hear the wisdom of God? It's so simple. God's wisdom is here in his word. That we believe 2 Timothy 3:16 that this is God's word breathed out by God, and this is profitable for us. Like, this is what you and I need. The wisdom of God is found in his word. If you want to hear him shouting aloud, if you want to hear him crying out, then we read God's word and we meditate on God's word. We process God's word. We pray over God's word. We use God's word to govern our lives and the decisions that we make. That wisdom is found in the word of God. That's what we encourage everyone to read it daily, not to check a box. But we do it because we want you to hear God's word. I need to hear the wisdom of God that is found in his word. So primarily God uses his word to give us wisdom. Is it good to talk to friends who are wise, who have been through a lot? Yeah, that's great. It's good to seek other people for wisdom. But primarily God is going to speak to you in his word when you seek after him. "Lord, give me wisdom." And then you read over it and meditate on it and ponder it and process through it in your life. This is where wisdom comes. You know, I heard someone say, a pastor say one time that someone said to him, "I just want God to speak to me in an audible voice, right? Then everything will be fine. Just tell me what to do." the pastor friend said, well, then just read your Bible out loud, right? That's an audible voice of God. Like, this is God's word. We have it. He does speak to us through his word. And so we go to it. We process through it on bigger decisions, like, you know, whether to move out of state or take a new job or things like that. Like, that might take time and you might have to read it and pray and ask God for wisdom. But on the everyday decisions that we make, the wisdom of God is there. So when I come home and I'm frustrated because I've had a long day of work and I come to my wife and my kids, I don't go on my own desires or my own wants or my own fears. But if I respond according to God's word and wisdom, then I'm reminded I'm called to love my wife the way that Christ loves the church, self-sacrificially. And that love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness is the fruit that I need to give to them. Fruit of the Spirit that is given to me by the Holy Spirit. The good thing is we're not alone in this. The Holy Spirit gives us the strength to have wisdom. And I respond to them in that way. The way that I respond to my finances is not out of fear and out of want, but instead I'm reminded to give generously. And so I ask the Lord, give me the wisdom to be generous with my finances and the things that he has given me. When it comes to the impure thoughts, right, that come into my mind, I'm reminded that I'm supposed to meditate on what is good, what is pure, what is perfect. And I'm supposed to take every thought captive and submit it to the obedience of Christ. And that's how I've responded to those things. Not according to my own desires or my own wants or my own fears, but according to the wisdom that is given to us in the Word of God. That screaming out aloud that is more precious than gold and silver and fine jewels. Nothing compares to this wisdom. So the question that we all have to ask ourselves, what decisions are you making today? And are you actively seeking God's Word to make those decisions? How can you begin to meditate and process through God's word in a way that honors and glorifies him as you make decisions? How can you look to his word as you process through the daily decisions that you make in this life and the larger decisions that you make in this life? And as I mentioned just a moment ago, the Holy Spirit will guide you in that wisdom. The Holy Spirit guided the writers of the Bible, and the Holy Spirit will continue to guide you as you seek wisdom to open your eyes to the truth of God's word. So let us pay attention by listening, by watching and waiting for the instructions of the Lord that is found in his word. Let us wait well for wisdom. And so we see that we pay attention by not neglecting wisdom, that we pay attention by listening for wisdom's instructions. And then lastly, we see that we pay attention by embracing that wisdom brings us the best life. Look what it says in verse 35. It says, "Whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord." And so what we need to be reminded of here is when we neglect, we say we're not going to do what we want to do, right? We're going to put our desires and our wants down, but instead we're going to listen to God's word and allow that to govern our decisions. That when we're doing that, we are actually stepping into the best life there is. We're stepping into the best life that there possibly is on this earth by not listening to ourselves and listening to God. And it says here, you will find favor with the Lord when you listen to wisdom, right? Like, this is where life is found, it says in verse 35, is when we listen to God and to his instructions. And the first wise decision that you must make, that the scripture calls us to, is the decision to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's the first decision that we make. And what we recognize is that what the Bible tells us, that we are separated from God because of our sins, that we're dead in our trespasses, that we are enemies of God, separated because of the sins that we have committed. And God, out of his love and his grace, he sends Jesus to do what we couldn't do. That Jesus lived the perfect life that you and I couldn't live, that he died on the cross for our sins, experiencing the death and the punishment and the separation that you and I deserve, rose from the dead 3 days later, conquering sin, conquering death, and conquering the enemy. And the beauty of the gospel is the wisest decision any of us can make is to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and as our Savior. And when we place our faith in him, with John 3:16, the most famous verse in the entire Bible, "When for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have eternal life." And when we step into believing and into that eternal life, we go from enemies of God. We go from the domain of darkness as children of God brought into his family into the marvelous light of our Savior. And we step into that. And that's the wisest decision that any of us can make. And when we do that, We are saved from our sins, brought to the family of God to live eternally with Him. And then the Bible tells us the Holy Spirit comes and dwells within us and leads us and guides us into all godliness. And so we step into that, making that our first wise decision. But even after we do that, we have a continual life over that we are following Him, listening to His wisdom. Instruct me, lead me, guide me as I read your word, as I listen and wait for wisdom. Come and move in my life and allow me to make decisions that are wise and good. You're the Lord, I am not. You are king, you are ruler, I am not. And so we walk. And I notice I said the best life, not the easy life, right? It's not always easy, the Christian life, but it's the best life, a life that is submitted to Christ for salvation and one that is submitted to God and His word as we continue to walk this Christian life. And I know for some of you in this room, you don't believe that. You're like, I don't believe that's the best life, Josh. I think the best life is when I can make my own decisions. I think the best life was when I am my own ruler, when I am my own king, and I can do what my heart desires, and I can do what I want to do when I want to do it. That is the best life, Josh. I don't believe what you're saying. And if that's you today, my question to you would be like, how's that going for you? How's it going? Because I've been there. I've taken my own life by the horns and did the things that I want to do. And if you're like I was, you're pretty miserable. You're frustrated, you're irritated, nothing is as satisfying as it should be, nothing is as good as you want it to be, and in fact, you find yourself making decision after decision that's leading you deeper and deeper and deeper into a dark, miserable life. Because what you're doing is you're trying to be wise in your own eyes, and all of us are finite beings that are tainted by sin. And so what the best life is, when you recognize that and you call upon the Savior, when you recognize that and you call upon the God of this universe who is sovereign over all, the God that knows the beginning from the end, the God that nothing is outside of His control, that you look to Him and you say, God, make me wise. Give me wise decisions, because I don't know what is wise. I see what's happening in Naples, Florida, and a few miles around me. I don't understand all of history. I don't understand what's going on in the world. I don't understand beginning from end, but you do. And I trust that you are a good God that is loving, that is compassionate, that is slow to anger, and that is abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness from generation to generation. So you're the God that I trust. And if you love me enough to die for my sins, to take me from the domain of darkness into the light of your marvelous Son, if you love me enough to bring me into the family of God, then I trust you. And I trust what you want for my life is far greater than anything that I want for my life. I trust that you will give me wise decisions according to your word. I don't trust my heart. It's deceitful. But I trust your heart. And I trust you because you are good. And so, yes, the best life, not always the easiest life, but the best life is when you trust Christ as your Lord and Savior. And then you walk in submission to Him, looking for wisdom in His word instead of your own wisdom. That is where favor with God is found. That is where life is found, and it's found in Jesus. And it is the best life that you could have. And so as we end today, the question that I have to ask is, have you embraced Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Have you made that wise decision that we're all challenged to make? We all have to be accountable for answering that question. And maybe you have accepted Christ, but maybe you've been making decisions based on your heart's desire or based on fears. And so maybe there's repentance that needs to happen from that. We would love to talk to you after the service. If you want to know what it means to know Jesus, me, Jay, Michael, we would love to talk to you about what it means to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, to embrace the best life and to walk in the wisdom that He has given to each of us according to His word. And so what you say, we pay attention to God by not neglecting wisdom. We pay attention by listening to wisdom's instruction. And then we pay attention by embracing that wisdom brings us the best life there is. I'm going to close with a quote from Melissa Kruger, who's a writer for the website, The Gospel Coalition. And this is such a challenge to each of us. It's a challenge for those who know Jesus in order to say, hey, you have found something that's incomparable. You have found something better than gold and silver and fine jewels. You have found wisdom. Now, are you going? Are you telling other people about this amazing God? Are you telling him about, are you telling them about how they can receive wisdom and they can have their life in him, forgiven of all their sins? Are we going and doing that? What a challenge to each of us. But also, if you're someone in this room that is still skeptical, this quote is for you. It's what Melissa says. It says, "This world's treasures simply cannot satisfy our souls. They were never intended to do so. Jesus is the only remedy for our spiritual hunger. It's the greatest kindness then to invite others to taste and see that the Lord is good." Psalms 34:8. And as we share our faith, may we do so with the winsome confidence that life in Jesus is so much richer, fuller, and better than any life apart from him. The gospel is good news. So as we close here today, these are individuals in this room, and the Holy Spirit in his wisdom is ministering to each one of you. How is God calling you to respond today? Is it faith in Christ? Is it repentance of the way that you've been handling things? Is it asking God for the wisdom as you make decisions in your everyday life? How is he calling you to respond today? And however he's pushing in you, man, respond appropriately. And once again, if you need someone to talk to, me, Jay, Michael, other people are in this room that we would love to talk to you about it. Let's close in a word of prayer. Lord, we're so grateful for you. We're so grateful for your word, God. Sometimes it's hard to hear. We want to be independent. We want to make good decisions. We want to do what is right. We want to do what we want to do. And so often, Lord, we do that. And so often, Lord, the end result is so devastating for us. But we're thankful that you're a God that only saves us from our sins. But you're also a God that leads us and guides us into deeper faith in you and lead us in wisdom. So, Lord, we ask and we plead, give us wisdom. Give us wisdom to glorify you. Give us wisdom to honor you with our lives. Give us wisdom that is best for us. And I pray, Lord, that we wouldn't neglect this wisdom by doing what is right in our own eyes. I pray that we would listen to the instructions of your word, that we would meditate on your word day and night, that we would process through your word, pray over it, memorize it, so that we can know, God, who you are, and we can know how to make wise decisions. And help us to embrace this is the best life. Maybe not the easiest, but it is the best life that we could ever possibly imagine. So be with us, Holy Spirit. Care for us. Minister to us. Offer your glory and offer the advancement of your kingdom. It's in the awesome, mighty, precious, wise name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.